Once again, a very good morning to each and every one of you. I believe many of us are still in the New Year's season, trying to make some kind of plans in terms of how you want this year to be. Maybe some of us are still making some kind of resolutions, you know, this is what I desire to live, to do in my life. And I think many of us have been, you know, thinking about all these things. I've been just working on this particular text, you know, Paul, Peter's writing to the church, to the scattered Christians in Asia Minor. When I was working in this text, you know, I came across an interesting video. And I thought, you know, before I share, we wanted to watch this video and just pick up, you know, what Peter has for us. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we thank you for another beautiful day that you've given to us, Father. We thank you because you are with us. Even today, God, as we spend some time looking at your word, Lord, we want your word to speak to us. We want your word, Lord, to encourage us, help us, to motivate us, O God, even to stir us, O God, to equip us and help us to draw closer to you. We thank you for your great apostle, Peter, Father, who gave his life for Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll watch this video clip and then we will continue with 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 to 11, living daily by the grace of God.
Boys and girls, we're going to take a few minutes and draw on the pieces of paper in front of you something or someone you are grateful for. Taking the time for gratitude is so important for our peace of mind and our happiness. And it's a great way to remind ourselves how lucky we are for what we have and who we have in our lives. Afterwards, we're going to share what we've drawn with the rest of the class. Let's begin. Wonderful class. Now, who would like to come up first and share what you're grateful for?
Me.
Yes, Sarah, come on up.
I'm thankful for trees because they give me oxygen.
That's wonderful, Sarah. Thank you so much. Who would like to go next?
I'll go.
Jason, come on up.
I grew my parents because without them, I wouldn't even be here. And also, they help me with my homework, and I love them.
Chocolate. I'm grateful for chocolate.
Okay, Rebecca. Thank you. Simon, why don't you come up and share with the class what you're grateful for? Come on up, Simon. I'll be right up here with you. What are you grateful for, Simon? How would you like to play a game with your classmates to see who can guess whose hand you drew? Would you like that? All right, class, can anyone guess whose hand Simon drew?
I think it's the hand of a policeman because they protect us and keep us safe.
I think it's Simon's hand because he's grateful to have a hand.
Is it the hand of God?
It's your hand, Miss Sanders.
You know, for a moment I was just thinking, if each and every one of us are given a paper, a piece of paper, and asked to draw, or even to write, what are you grateful for? What would we write? What are you grateful for? Even last week we gave out a paper, you know, where we are asked to write our resolutions and to keep it with us. The first question, you know, what are the things that you are, you know, mindful of, the blessings that God has given? Imagine given a paper again and asked, what would you write? Maybe some of us will write in terms of our achievement for the last year. Some of us would say, you know, God has been so wonderful in, you know, that He answered my prayers. Some of us might say, you know, God has given me a good health, and I'm just, you know, I don't have words to just praise God for who God is. He is the healer in my life. You know, God has seen me through. There were moments in our life, you know, I felt that I wanted to give up. But, you know, God has been so good, and He gave me the needed strength to pull through the entire year. You know, there will be so many things that we will write in this particular paper if it's given to us. But, you know, when you look at the writing that is written by the Apostle Peter here, he's talking about the grace of God. I think Peter would write by saying that it is the grace of God. He ends the first epistle by saying, with the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I return to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that whatever is written, that this is the true grace of God. And so he is writing to the scattered Christians in Asia Minor, persecuted. They were secluded because they were Christians and they were a small minority of people. It was a difficult time for the Christians to live. But then he talks about the true grace of God. And he says, it is the grace of God that gives us the needed strength to continue each and every moment of our life. You know, if I would have asked, you know, how do you experience God's grace? You know, many of us will have so many things to say. Like we will say, you know, one of the wonderful thing or the great thing that happened in my life, you know, God, you know, changed me. It's the grace of God that met me. And today, I love God because of the grace of God. And some of us will say, you know, God's grace has been with me because I've seen His protection. There were moments, you know, I was struggling, but the Lord came along with me and gave me the needed strength in my life. There were financial difficulties or there were emotional struggles. You know, there were loneliness in my life, but God has been so wonderful. He journeyed along with me and I saw God's gracious hand that was with me. I think many of us would say this, my friend. But Peter is really careful when he uses the word grace of God. You know, sometimes we overemphasize on the grace of God. But when you look at the grace of God very carefully in scriptures, you realize, yes, we need the grace of God each and every day. You know, every day I start my day, one of the first prayers is, Lord, I need your grace today. I need your grace today, God, because without your grace, in other words, grace is God's goodness, my friend. God's favor upon me. I need your favor, God, today. I need your goodness. I need your blessing, God, in my life. But grace doesn't stop there. But if you look at the other side of the coin, when you look at grace in the Bible, you'll also see another word, which is the just of God and the holiness of God. In other words, you know, many a times we grace has become so cheap. We think about the grace of God, but then we forget about the just of God, that God is just, that God is holy. And so when Peter is writing to the believers here, he's not just talking about the grace of God. When he sees the grace of God, he's saying, yes, God's grace is poured upon you, provided God's goodness is given to you, provided you continue to live according to His will and purpose. Because if God is always giving you blessings and goodness, but you don't see the righteousness of God or the just of God, then I think God will be biased. And so Peter is telling the believers here, yes, we need God's grace, right? But God's grace is given to us provided we obey, we live a life that God has planned for us. You know, I was going through some studies that was just done. And as Christians, you know, many of us, you know, would say, you know, the pandemic time, maybe some of us will say we are still at the tail end of the pandemic. We do not know what is going to happen because there's some kind of variant is also still coming. So we do not know when it's going to end. And I was really, you know, I'm just surprised when I looked at the study that was done by Pew Research. They say during the 18 months of the early days of the pandemic, 18 months, according to a study, that was study, you know, 13% of them said, you know, their 13% of Canadians said that their faith became much more stronger. What's wonderful news. 13% of them were able to say, you know, my faith was much more stronger. And then the survey also says, the study also says, the religious favor of that country was stronger by 16%. In other words, Canadian religious faith was stronger by 16%. Wonderful news, great news. But then the sad part was, I read another journal, which is a study that was released by a German study under the Journal of Religion and Health. They say the longer the pandemic, what has happened? More people seem to lose their faith in God. During the early days, the 18 months of the first year, or slightly more than first year, you know, our faith was much more stronger because we need God. We wanted God to help us through. Without Him, we can't do. And then what has happened? You know, it became our life. Right? And then the study says, you know, people began to lose their faith. I think that's what Peter is writing. The Christians faced a different challenge in those days. Persecution. You don't face persecution today the way the early church faced. But I think we face different issues in our life. And so Peter would have written the same epistle to us, or wrote the same epistle to us by saying, you know, you need the true grace of God. You need God's blessings, yes. You need God's goodness, yes. But then what happens? You continue to live a life, submitting yourself to the will and to the plan of God. So he talks about the grace of God, which is needed to help us to pull through in times like this, because we do not know how this year is going to be. We hope for the best, right? We desire, that's our dream, that everything will be much more okay, you know, things will be normal. We have taken the plexiglass away, right? And slowly, probably, we might also make masks optional in our church and all that. Yes, but, you know, but then he says, we need God's grace, constant God's grace in our life. Because God's grace helps us. Firstly, if we look at the verse very carefully, he says, grace keeps us humble. You know, when you experience God's grace, in other words, like the video that we saw, when we are grateful for the things that God has done in our life, maybe God has given us financial stability and we are grateful for that. We are grateful for the salvation that we have received and for the many things that God has done in our lives. The list goes on. So he says, when we look at the goodness of God, the graciousness of God, the hand of God in my life, he says, it keeps me humble, not proud. It's not because, you know, I'm so good and that's why God has to bless me. No, I don't deserve, but God has been wonderful because I've been faithful to Him. I don't deserve His goodness, but God's hand has been with me. So God's grace keeps us humble. Two words you will see here, you know. He says, you know, we will clothe ourselves with humility toward one another, and also we will also be humble before God. In other words, we will be humble before people. You know, that's what Peter is trying to say. In other words, we value the opinion of others. We look up to them. We know their opinions, their perspectives is also important. Right? We don't look down on people. We love them. We care for them. At the same time, you know, he also talks about humility before God. In other words, I'm thankful for God. At the same time, I'll also, you know, tell myself that I'll just wait. I'll wait for God to reveal His plan. And I'll continue to be faithful in the time of waiting. Let me tell you, waiting is a real test of our faith, right? There are things that, you know, we want immediately or we want instantly to be done in our life. And wait can be the hardest thing, my friend. But when we experience God's grace and we say, Lord, I want your grace to be upon me and I'll just live a life according to how you want me to live in this world, it makes us humble. It makes us wait on God's time. It makes us, you know, just wait because God resists the poor. That's what Scripture tells us, right? He opposes the proud, but He grace to the humble, my friend. So it's important for us. We need more grace. And that's why, you know, James writes, he says, but He gives more grace to us. So my friend, I think to live a life daily is good, but daily living under the grace of God is important. In other words, we are not worthy. Each and every day, we are not worthy to live in this world, but God has added each and every moment, every day into our life. But then, you know, we need to be living a life, because a life that will continue to please God, because the more grace we experience, the more humble we become. The more goodness that we think that God has done in our life, right, we become much more humble. We will say, Lord, without you, Lord, I can't step into another hour, God. I can't step into another year, another month. I can't step into this career. It's all because of your grace. People experience God's grace, God's goodness, God's blessings. They become much more humble. That's what Peter is saying. Right? So whatever persecution you might be facing, he says, you know, just live for God because He makes us humble. Secondly, when God's grace is upon us, you know, He says that, you know, grace keeps us watchful. Right? In other words, yes, I will live a life for God. And I know God will take His time, but I will not live a life blindly. Right? The Scripture talks about wisdom, talks about knowledge. And in this particular passage, He's talking about, you know, be alert and sober mind. When God's grace is upon me, what happens? Not only I'm humble, at the same time, God will give me the spirit of discernment. I become much more alert and watchful to the things that surrounds me, the things that I meet daily in my life. And so, it's an interesting word in the Greek text. It means in an immediate action. In other words, I'm not saying, you know, I'll just leave it to God, but at the same time, you know, I will also be alert. I'll do my part to be alert. Immediately, I'm just looking what's going to happen, right? And so, Paul writes to the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. So he says, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall, right? So he says, if you think, but don't fall. In other words, he says, be alert, be sober. The first thing I think he says in this particular passage, like when I look at it very carefully, he says, you know, your enemy, the devil, right? He's like a roaring lion. He wants to devour you. The army, they say, the first thing you need to know your enemy. You know who your enemy is. So, you know, as Christians, I think when God's grace is upon us, when we enjoy God's goodness in our life, we will know, because there are things the enemy wants to bring to our lives so that we will fall, right? That we will lose our faith too at the end of the day. And so we need to know our enemy, because Satan always wants to destroy us, my friend. Look at the life of Job, a very famous character in terms of suffering, and he was a very faithful man. What was the goal of Satan? Not to take his riches away, not to make him poor. His main motive that this man will question God and be faithless before the sight of God. That's it. Satan is not interested in his wealth or his name. That Job will question God. And that's why Job's wife said, you know, why don't you curse God and die? I think that's the primary motive, my friend. So that we will question God, question His goodness, question His grace, question His mercy, even question His time. And so we need to be knowing the enemy. Right? And looking at the word very carefully, you also realize, right, you need to know him, because he's a roaring lion. In other words, in the Greek text, it implies he's very hungry, and right? He's very hungry. He's not just, he's just hungry, and he's that kind of determination. He has that kind of determination to just come after you. Today, my friend, I think when God's grace is upon us, we will be much more sober, much more vigilant. Is there something that is taking me away from loving this God? Is there something that is taking me away from worshiping this God? Is there something that is taking me away from loving my brothers and sisters or caring for them? Is something that is taking me away from spending my devotional hour? It's not tomorrow. I want to do it today. I will do it the next time. I want to have a daily walk with God. Know your enemy, because his motive is to make you question God and to be faithless before him. So Peter reminds the church. I was reading 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Before we were wearing masks, Satan already had a mask. He's known as the angel of light. Paul writes, right? He says he will disguise himself like an angel of light, but he's a deceiver. Yes, my friend, I think we need to be, when we experience God's grace each and every moment, when we know God has been so wonderful, we will be watchful of our faith, that nothing will separate me from loving God or coming closer to Him. I think pandemic has actually not only strengthened our faith, but at the same time, it has also opened doors for people to distance themselves from God. I was reading studies maybe one time I'll share with you some of the, interesting studies that was done to show, how the composition of the church have actually shifted these days, my friend. And so Peter says, and also Paul reminds the church to be, not to be ignorant. And lastly, in this particular point, you see, you need to resist him, right? Resist him. In other words, instead of running away from your post of duty, right, you need to be firm. In the army training, we were always told, right, you don't run away from the place you are stationed. You're there. Be alert, right, looking around, and or just allowing nature to take its course, or allowing other things, just to take its course. But to stand and face him, to face the challenges of the evil one by saying, no, I want to put my God first. That's why I seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And nothing will stop me from drawing closer to God. Nothing will stop me from, you know, worshiping God or reading His Word or encouraging another person in the faith, my friend. Grace keeps us watchful. And lastly, you know, grace keeps us hopeful. And that's what Peter is saying to the scattered Christians who are, you know, persecuted in that point of time. He says, you know, you need to be hopeful. In verse 10, he talks about it. You know, he says, you know, the God of all grace, right? The God of all grace who gives us grace, right? Called you to the eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while. So he's saying, you know, yes, you will have difficulties. You have issues in life. You know, maybe not another pandemic. That might be another thing that might come or challenge us in our faith to love Him. But he says, it's going to be a little while. Right? But then he says, you know, you need to be standing firm. Interesting in the Greek text, if you look at the word restore, to make you strong, firm, and steadfast, is almost like the same word he's using. In other words, you know, he says, you know, you need to be fixed firmly. It's like a house that is built on a rock. Nothing will shake. No wind, no storm, right, will shake that particular house. And that's the way he's using the word in the Greek text. It's perfect, established, strengthened. Like, be strong, be firm, and settle down. That's what he says. On a firm foundation, it will come. It will come. In other words, you know, don't give up. It's easy. That's what Peter is writing to the believers here, my friend. Sometimes in our lives too, it's easy. We start, right? One of my resolutions for this year is to read the entire Bible once again. Right? I've read it, and even my family have completed like that. And so I told myself, but there were, you know, and sometimes I might say, you know, maybe I'll do it, and tomorrow I can do it tomorrow. Because maybe tomorrow never comes, my friend. Right? And so I think we need to be continuing. Stand firm. If you have written a resolution, stand firm. Be hopeful. Right? And that's what Peter is trying to say. And so it's important for us to live daily on the grace of God, God's goodness. Just reminded of the things that God has blessed us, coming back from work, saying, Lord, you know, you have been with me this day, O God, and I'm just thankful for you. And so when we are thankful, when we see God's grace, in that way, my friend, we become much more humble because we don't deserve that blessing. We don't deserve that protection. We don't deserve that care. We don't deserve that answer from God that particular day. We don't deserve that help that came. Right? We become much more humble because we realize it's only God who had made it possible. We become much more careful, right? So that nothing will take me away from drawing close to this God, or even to question God's goodness. And we'll always be firm, watchful, because yes, I have to go through this in my life. I want to share this story about this man. Probably not a story, but you know, many of you would have this song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. It's a very famous song that was written by Sir John Newton. You know, very interesting story about this great man. You know, when I was reading this, this is one of the songs that I liked. When he was a commander of a slave ship, what was happening, you know, he went to Africa and he packed a lot of slaves. He will chain them in the ship. He was a slave trader. That was his work. He was an angry man. Man full of anger, pain, right, uncertainty. But his mother prayed for him earnestly, not giving up. Can you imagine? The son was becoming bad to worse. A slave trader. Someone gave him a book written by Thomas K. Kempis, right? Imitation of Christ. I have a copy, you know, of that book in my office too. Very interesting book. It was written by this man, you know, who wrote his experience about God. Very inspiring book. And so he used to read that particular book, my friend. During one of the journey, he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he did not continue with the slave trade again. He spoke against it, right? Because he realized God's goodness and mercy in his life. He became a pastor. For 40 years, he served as a pastor. And when he was 82 years, I was very fascinated with this man. When he was 82 years, he never marveled at the grace of God that changed his life tremendously or totally. He never marveled. Not only he wrote a hymn, right? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. One of his last words were this: "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior." My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I'm a great sinner and Christ is a great Savior. I'm not worthy, but this God that found me and I've experienced His grace. And so, my friend, God calls us to live a life daily thinking of His goodness and His grace, my friend. It's all because of His grace and His mercy upon us. May God continue to help us as we continue to live in this year, right? Let's cling on to God's grace. Think of God's goodness, my friend, at the same time telling ourselves, yes, I want to give myself to God. I want to humble myself before Him and be just grateful for all the things that He has done, because He opposes the proud. And I want to be vigilant that nothing is take me an inch away from God. I want to be there wherever He wants me to be. And I'll always be hopeful. In other words, I'll be firm, rooted, that nothing will shake me, because all this are just for a little while. And one day it will be gone. And that's the grace of God. Let's pray. Can you imagine writing a letter to the suffering Christians? Instead of saying, you know, there are five things that you need to do, Peter touches on the main thing: to be grateful and to know the grace of God. Yes, my friend, that's a powerful reminder for each and every one of us, including myself too. Each and every day, we go through each and every day, not because of our own strength. It's God's grace. It's God's goodness upon us, my friend. And if each and every day we will say, Lord, I'm just a duster, God. But Your grace has been with me. And I want to live a life for You each and every day and experience more grace, Your goodness, in a very special way. Because the more, when we look at God's grace each and every moment, we become dependent upon God and say, Lord, I need You. I need You, God. Without You, I can do nothing, Jesus. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Help us, Lord, to live daily by Your grace. In Jesus' name we pray.